I want to go to Galatians chapter 6. I'll start at verse 6. It says, "Let him that's taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. Be not deceived, God's not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. He that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Now, he addresses here a principle of sowing and reaping. The kingdom of God operates by this principle. And he says, don't be deceived. What we sow, we will reap. Now, there might be some time in between sowing and reaping. We may not see the harvest right away, but it will come. So sometimes you can be deceived if you don't see something immediately manifest. We can be deceived by conditions around us. But God's principle is true. All of his principles, his kingdom operates by principles. And as we sow, we shall reap. Now, this particular passage is not talking about money per se, even though at verse 6, it's saying that if you're receiving the word of God, you should give and be a blessing back. The word communicates, also translated distribute, and sometimes fellowship. But there is a communication to those bless you, you should bless them back. But what he's talking about here is not that, and it's not about sowing the word to our own spirit necessarily, but it's talking about us sowing our life into this world, you sowing your life. So when sowing and reaping being used, it can speak relative to finances. It can speak, and it does speak relative to sowing the word of God into our heart, which will bring forth fruit. But in this passage, he's talking about sowing our life. So in Matthew chapter 13, you have various parables there. Parable of the sower. But then he gives the parable of the wheat and the tares. And then gives the interpretation that the Lord's sowing us as people into the earth. You are a seed. God's word's a seed that'll bring fruit in you. Fruit in your life is completely commensurate to the seed of the word you sow to your spirit. If you don't sow the word to your spirit, you're not going to have fruit inside of you. But the second part of that, the parable of the wheat and the tares, is that God wants to sow your life into the world. So the word that was sown in you brings forth fruit. Fruit contains within it seed, so that the fruit of the Spirit in you becomes a seed as you are sown into this world or into the lives of other people. So we are going to sow our life into something. You do sow your life into something. And what you do with your time, this is where money comes in. Money represents the exchange of your time and talent for a monetary value that can be exchanged for goods and services. So, you know, where you put your money shows where your heart is. Jesus said, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. But also with your time and where you sow your mind, your thoughts, your words, the investment of your life. We do sow into something, and you will reap a harvest relative to what you're sowing your life into. If all you do is sow your life into making money and pursuing pleasure, that is sowing to the flesh, or it's carnal, and there will be corruption or the fruits of death come out of that eventually. Lust and pride will bring forth death. If you're sowing to the flesh and comfort and these things, you are going to have a bad harvest come out of that. In the vision that the Lord gave me in 1986, February of 1986, he spoke to me to warn people of leisure living and building their own dream. But that people, as they come up the windy, bumpy road, they hit a crossroads where you will make a choice whether I follow the Lord on through into the life of God or whether I'm going to pursue a path where I'm going to coast towards what looks like pleasure and leisure, or I'm going to try to go up the hill and build my own dreams. To build your dreams or to pursue leisure living or the life of just pleasure in the natural is sowing your life to the flesh. And there will be a bad fruit that will be the byproduct out of that. Now, you might have some things you enjoy in this world, but you won't really partake the very life of God or life everlasting or the fruit of the kingdom, love, joy, and peace. That'll always be elusive to someone. So in the flesh, people want to hear all about pursuing their own dreams. If you build your own dream and don't have the dream of God for your life, His plan, His vision, whatever you want to call it, if you don't have that, you'll end up very disappointed unto despair and depression, even possibly to being suicidal. It's a dangerous thing to have the wrong dream. It's not wise to lead children to dream the wrong dreams. They have to learn to receive from God what His plan would be for their life and dream the dreams of God. That almost killed me as a young person. Because as a young person, I was raised and heavily involved in sports. I still enjoy sports. I still have my teams. All of the pride and arrogance in it makes it hard for me sometimes. Sometimes I can't hardly stand it. But there's some enjoyment in sports. However, as a young person, I had the wrong dream. I was dreaming of being like an athlete. It was just a problem. I was a late grower in a very large school district. A very large school district. I had no chance of making any teams at that age. And I lost my dream because I had the wrong dream. You know where I ended up? In a real quick time. Drugs and alcohol and everything else. Because if you don't have purpose for your life, if you don't have the dream of God before you, there is no reason to impose discipline upon your life. There's no reason to work towards anything. You'll only live for the pleasure of the moment. If you don't have a dream for the future, that it brings an imposing of discipline on your life. And you can be destroyed really quick. And many people, they have the wrong dreams. And they'll celebrate their dream of the flesh. And in the world, you can hear all kinds of things spoken. You can be whatever you want to be. I want to say to you, no, you can't. You don't see someone who's 5'4" playing in the NBA. I know there was a couple shorter fellows. So I just had to come down in stature. We'll say 5'4". And you're against somebody who's like 6'10". You ain't going to make it. You know, there's things that are limitations. And no one can just do everything. You can learn to play an instrument. That doesn't mean you have a gift to bless humanity with music. Someone who has a gift has far more potential. So you can do things, yeah. But to do what's in you to do is where you're really fulfilled and satisfied. Not to fulfill some lust or some desire for recognition or some accomplishment according to man. But when we find the plan of God, we know God's behind that. And we can trust him for the grace, the ability, the wisdom, the finance, whatever we would need to see that come to pass. It will require perseverance. It will require a lot of work. But God's behind his plan for our life. He's not obligated to bring to pass what you want. So there are many people who might hear about all the things of God and live a very frustrated life because simply they're pursuing the wrong thing. They're sowing to the flesh. They're sowing to a carnal dream. We want to lay those things aside and let God reveal to us what he has for us. What is his plan? He wants us to grow, to mature, to be men and women of God, to be fruitful for the glory of God. That's what he wants. It comes by the word being sown into our heart, changing and transforming us to the image of Jesus Christ. And we begin to mature and grow to where now he has a work for us to do where we're sowing our life to bless humanity. There are many ways we're a blessing we don't even realize. You might not even know. You may have testified to someone who got saved and you didn't even really realize because they didn't come and tell you. We'll find out when we get to heaven. But see, for us, it shouldn't be about us. It's just living for our Savior, living to bless him, living to glorify him. That's really what it's all about. And if we just live to glorify him, there's a contentment that we can have. When you have lust in your heart, you're never really content. You're always thinking more, 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 this or that. Run to this, run to that. If you lust after recognition and praise of men, you'll want more and more and more until it's self-destructive. He that sows to his flesh will reap corruption. But if we sow to the Spirit, to that which God would have, there's life, there's the kingdom in us, and then there's eternity in heaven with his, in the presence of the Lord, and there's the fruitfulness. Verse 9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, not maybe, not reap a little bit, you will reap. There will be a harvest. If we're sowing in the Spirit, there will be harvest. It will produce. Sometimes, again, I want to say this, you may not see everything in this lifetime. It may be later down the road. It may be something that even in after you're gone. It may be something that someone's life who isn't even a part of your life anymore. They could be in a distant place, but they know you've sown into them and fruit came forth. Don't be weary in well-doing. Now, weariness is what I really want to speak to here. Don't be weary in what you know to do. It's very easy to begin to get weary, especially when evil's all around us getting worse. It doesn't take a prophet to see that. We all can see that. You know, we lament the fact that there is a downgrading of our society here. You know, everything can increase or decrease. There's a decrease of the fruitfulness of God in our nation. I grieve over that every day. But you can't allow yourself to focus on that. The more, as I'm aware of those things, I must focus on him and sow his word to my heart more, lest the negative things around me begin to influence and impact me in a negative way, where I become negative because of it. See, we need to press on and continue to do what we know the will of God is, sowing our life, whether anyone appreciates it or not, whether there's persecution or not, whether there's hardship or not, whether there's an immediate harvest or a later harvest, whether things work out the way we want to see them work out or not. We cannot allow weariness. We need to persist and continue in the thing that God would have. To allow weariness is to get your mind on yourself. to allow that to settle in, it's actually a form of selfishness. Poor me. Poor me. Oh, I work so hard. Poor me. Oh, I'm trying to do good and something didn't work out. Poor me. We got to shake ourselves off from that kind of thinking. Because if you begin to allow self-pity into your life, oh, poor me, I have it tough. I've done so much. I'm not appreciated. That'll corrupt you. It'll take you down. You'll quit. You'll be so depressed and angry and everything else. But if we'll continue, we keep our eyes on Jesus, doing that which we know God would have us to do is unto the Lord with a joyful heart. We can rise above what's around us. And we have to. You have to rise above. It's like the current around us, like a riptide. It'll just pull you down. Where people may have sort of lived with a measured commitment to the Lord, it's not going to cut it in the end days that we're moving into. It's not going to cut it. And we can't allow ourselves just to complain about all the negative. But rather, we got to rise up and praise our God. And continue to express our faith. And to sow our life, even unto the death, or no matter what happens here. As we have opportunity, let's do good to all. You see, when you allow weariness, you don't even see the opportunities anymore to be a blessing. Because you're thinking about how tired you are, how tired of something you are, how frustrated you are. We just can't, there are some things you just can't afford to go there. You know, sometimes there's some things I can't afford in the natural. I don't like walk into a Mercedes dealership and window shop. I can't afford to buy a Mercedes. I mean, maybe, I don't know, what's 20-year-old Mercedes cost? Maybe there. But I can't afford it, so I don't even go there. Why would you look onto things you know you can't afford? Why even go there? It's a waste of time. Why go to the place of just dwelling on all the negative things around us? You can't afford it. We can't afford to begin to let things like lust and envy creep into our soul because they'll get its clutches into you and just choke the very life of God out. No, we continue to watch for the opportunities around us. And there are many people in the world, they don't have any hope. You have hope. We all have hope. We have Jesus. We have hope. Sometimes I'll think about how, you know, like the aggravation stuff going on around us. It's aggravating. And I'll think, people that don't have Jesus, what do they do with all this stuff? Well, I'll tell you what they do. They just go get drunk. They do drugs. They get drunk. Or they just, everything's about sex or whatever for their own pleasure for the moment until it destroys them. Without Jesus, how do you even deal with all this stuff? Well, they're not. They can't. But there's opportunities in that because they know they need something. And you know what it is they need. They need Jesus, and you can give them Jesus. You can share Jesus. Well, we need to be strong. We can't allow weariness in these end times. That being said, I want to go to Isaiah chapter 40. Beginning at verse 28, says, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard? The everlasting, the eternal God, the Lord, creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is weary." God didn't get tired. He didn't get tired of you either. Sometimes you get tired of you. You think, how can God stand reaching out to me anymore? I can't even stand myself. You can't wear him out. You can't wear him out. Our dog's like that sometimes. My wife take her out, throw a ball, run her like for 20 minutes. You come in. And does she lay down? No. She pick up another ball. I throw, play ball some more. It's like, there's no wearing this dog out. So, when I grew up, I want to be like my dog, you know. There's no wearing me out. I have the strength of God. That's what I want. To be like the Lord, because there's no wearing him out. His endurance continues. His mercy endures forever. No matter what's going on around, it doesn't change him. I count it a great compliment when someone says, my wife will say, you're always the same. I say, thank you. I don't know if you mean it as a compliment or not, but that's how I hear it. Praise the Lord. I'm being like God because he said, I am the Lord your God. I change not. Well, there are some ways we should change. There are some things in us, our flesh needs to be changed to be more like him. But in our character, if it's godly character, we want to be unchanging. And in terms of persevering in what he's called us to do and his will and his work and his ways, we are unchanging. We'll not wear down. We'll not give out. He gives power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increases strength. Now, this is one of these verses we either believe or we don't. And if you're going to believe that, then you can't be making excuses and have a pity party. To have the pity party, oh, poor me, I'm working so hard, I'm so tired. To do that is a denial of the scripture. Because he says, he gives power to the faint, do I believe it or not? If I believe it, I'm going to be running to him. Lord, give me some of that power. I need strengthened again. Just as we would arise in the morning, if you're a breakfast eater, I know some people don't eat breakfast. I love breakfast. Arise in the morning, I'm going to feed myself again and nourish my body to go through my day. Amen, say all the breakfast eaters. You non-breakfast people, you start at noontime or whatever, but still you have to put some fuel in the tank. To those who have no might, he'll increase strength. See, the issue is not how much you have strength. The issue is, am I going to go to him and get what I need? To get more, to increase. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. Now, just like my young dog. You know how teenagers are. There's some of them sitting here. Go, 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 go. I remember back years ago, we had our high school, and I'd take the high school students to a place called Spruce Lake Outdoor School up in the Poconos. And it was a Christian, like a camp teaching, showing God in creation. It was awesome. You know, teaching you everything, a picture of God and creation. And the students couldn't go out anywhere just on their own. They had to have someone with them. That someone with me. So, you know, we had like a 3-hour hike up the mountain. Literally, it's like 3-hour hike in the morning, and they'd be teaching different things. And then we'd come in for lunch, come in for lunch and then go out again in the afternoon and come back and, you know, be like these different schooling type things they'd be doing and come back. And these guys would want to play basketball. I mean, it's before dinner. Come on, Pastor Phil, let's go out in basketball court. I'm having trouble picking my knees up at this point, hiking up and down this mountain. All right, we'll go out and we'll play basketball. And I thought, can't these guys, like, just want to sit on the sofa? And I was ready to sit on the sofa and then go in and have dinner. No, 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 no. The youth are not weary. You have energy to burn and then some. So that just pops back into my mind. Those are fun times. And, when you're young, you can go, 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 go. Just like our young dog. Go, 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 go. But you have to understand there's a place in life where even the youth will get wore down and can't go any further. Even the young man says, I need a break. I need a rest. And that's speaking in spirit to the things going on around us where a person can just begin to just say, I'm tired. I'm weary. I just need a break. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They that wait upon the Lord. To wait upon the Lord, the root word in the Hebrew is speaking of a cord being woven together. It's very strong. You just have like a string, you could break that quite easily. But when you're braiding something, that's how you make rope, you're braiding it together, it becomes very, very strong. And our whole, what he's saying here is our whole life needs to be woven around the Lord or intertwined with faith, hope, and love with him. You see, some people's thought process relative to walking with God is like, God, here I am. I'm living my life. Please come and bless me. But that is a different view than my whole life is wrapped up in him. You can't rip me apart from him. And that's what Jesus was talking about, abiding in him. Your whole life's in him. It's not just, well, I'm doing what I do. Oh, God, help. Oh, God, bless me. That is a wrong concept. It's for our life, our whole life to be interwoven and wrapped up in him. And out of that comes hope. If your whole life's in him, you have hope. He's in your life. You're not just asking him to touch you or, oh, Lord, just bless me. Bail me out of this problem. He is your life. That's the waiting on the Lord it's speaking of. And what happens, you are infused with a strength from God, whereas you would mount up with wings like an eagle. And eagles have very strong wings. They can lock them. They'll build their nest on like the at a cliff or big rock ledge, waiting for thermal currents. As the sun's beating, and they'll do it on the south side, as the sun beats on that rock and it makes heat, the warm air will rise, and they can just lock their wings and be lifted up and use very little effort to fly. You don't see an eagle flap, 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 and wear himself out. He can just glide. And they'll kind of tend to go around circles because they're in that thermal draft, I think is what they call it. And that's just like a law of nature that's there. And the eagle operates in that. And he says, you, whose life is completely intertwined with the Lord in every way, every aspect, with him. Him the person. Not him a thing. Him the person. You begin to get on the thermal draft of God, the wind of the Spirit above the storm. And eagles, when storms come in, they'll rise above the storm, riding up that thermal draft, rise above the storm, and just ride it out. You see, the issue is not to get away from the storm. It's to mount up with wings as eagles and rise above it. I was thinking, I was kind of getting excited when the song before the last song Jared did there. Man, I was right on, Jared. How'd that go? In the middle of the storm, I'll sing in the middle of the storms. That one line in there. And that was a right on for now moment song. And that's the picture. There's a storm all around us. I mean, if you're not paying attention, it's a bad storm. There's people, the Antichrist, demonic Antichrist spirit has possessed people who have positions of power whose aim is to destroy this nation as we know it. And we do know from Scripture, ultimately, that's going to happen eventually. What the timing is, well, no one knows for sure, but it's in process. And that, the evil of all that can start dragging you down. You could have worked all your life for certain things and you could watch it go away. You know, Satan has no mercy. He is a destroyer, complete destruction. But we can rise above all this stuff. Talk about having a testimony. To rise above. With wings as eagles, to rise above it. And through it's the waiting on the Lord. Our life is so intertwined with Him. He is our life. It's not just something we do now and then. It's not, oh, God bless me while I do what I want to do. But it's making Him your life. Waiting upon Him. In the natural, it can get so tough that even the youth wear out. Even the young man says, I'm done. But we can be lifted up above it all. Therefore, don't be weary in well-doing. Mount up with wings as eagles. Don't allow weariness. Weariness can get on you, but if it attaches itself, it's because you allow it. As believers, it's only if we allow it. The evil cannot overcome us if we're in Christ. But if you're not diligent and you're not weaving your whole life in Him, the fabric of Him, being bound to Him, wrapped up in Him, however you want to say it. If we don't do that, we will begin to wear down. You're taking a vacation. It's not your answer. Because you come back. And all that weariness is all around you. You know what you're going to think? I got to get another one. I got to go more. Till that becomes the lust of the flesh in your life. Whether it be alcohol, sex, or vacations, or whatever else, it's not the answer. It's the answers in Him. And we can rise above all of it, and we can be more than a conqueror. And we need to lay hold of such thinking, lest the things around us begin to wear us down. Don't be weary in well-doing. Continue to sow your life. To sow your life. This life, one of the things you realize the older you get, life goes by so fast. It seems like it goes by faster all the time, doesn't it? Life goes by fast. And you look back and say, what did I do with my life? That's why men have midlife crises. They look back and say, what did I do with my life? I wasted half of it. Start today. Start today. As we see the opportunity, we have an opportunity right now to worship and praise our God. An opportunity to wait on the Lord. An opportunity to lay hold of life and mount up with wings as eagles. Will you do that with me? Let's rise together and enter into that place. Hallelujah.